Climbers are gathering at base camp on Mount Everest, preparing for the small window next month when they can summit the world's tallest mountain. And despite last year's avalanche that killed 16 Nepalese Sherpas, there are more climbers this year, including 30-year-old professional guide Melissa Arnott. She created a foundation, the Juniper Fund, to help the families of the Sherpas killed and create new opportunities for their children. Her climb will raise money for that, and she hopes make history. She's hoping to be the first American woman to summit without supplemental oxygen or traditional Sherpa porters. She joins us on a sat phone from base camp, 17,000 feet, so listen closely. Melissa, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me, Robin.
And just can you describe what you are looking at?
So we're looking directly up at the climbing route. We have the new moon coming up around us, and the stars are pretty amazing.
This is just incredible. I mean, just to give people a perspective, a lot of people, you know, get altitude sickness at around 11 or 12 and could never get to where you are, and you're about to start what's, you know, known as the climb. Look, terrible avalanche last year, terrible loss. You've been one of the people in the forefront of trying to make life better for Sherpas. You've started a foundation, but you were there that day when that avalanche occurred. What was your own gut feeling when this happened?
Oh, that was a horrible day. I mean, that was a day where the worst thing imaginable, the thing that we always fear and know can happen, did happen.
Did you know the Sherpas who were killed?
I did. I had five close friends that were killed.
Yeah. I mean, some would say, how can you go back to the mountain?
Yeah, you know, I think that's a really good question. And for me, it comes down to knowing that over the last 8 years of working here, I've learned so much about this place. And I feel like walking away at this really critical time would be somewhat irresponsible when I think the things I've learned can actually help usher Everest into a more sustainable and responsible time. And I am very interested in that. I love this place and the people that work here, and I want other people to be able to experience that, you know, enduring through time. And so I think if I just threw up my hands and said, I don't like what's happening, I become somewhat complicit in making this not a good place to be.
Well, and there's the way that you're planning to climb without oxygen and without Sherpa support. Now, we should explain there's going to be a Sherpa climbing with you, but not as, I don't know, there's no other way to put it, as a mule, as somebody who's burdened with your gear?
Yeah, exactly. So we have one Sherpa, Amiru, who's working with us, and he's helping our cameraman, who has an unbelievable task of trying to film what I'm doing as well as climb Everest at the same time. And so he's not going to be carrying loads for us. He's not setting up camp. We're just climbing as a normal climbing team as we would on any other expedition in any other place in the world.
Okay, well, just let's stay with this for a second. Do you worry that climbing without Sherpas in that area, as much as you support the Sherpas, will be the beginning of the end of what's been their life, what's been their only job path, being Sherpas?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, one of the things that's a slight misconception is that I'm not hiring any staff personally for my trip, but the Sherpa support that's on the mountain is absolutely integral for me to be able to climb. There's teams of Sherpas who are fixing routes that every single climber, including myself, will use.
Fix the ropes, yeah.
Exactly. And so, you know, that job, I think, is definitely essential. And most people who are coming to climb Everest are still going to hire local workers. And for me, you know, I think I battle with the ethics of that. Is do I want to endanger people's lives if I can do the work myself, or do I want to support their livelihood? And I think I'm constantly battling that question myself.
Well, now, the oxygen part. How do you train for that? You told the Today Show that you've been trying to put yourself in situations that would match, you know, not having that spark that you get from oxygen support. How do you do that?
Well, I think somebody told me early on in my climbing, you know, you don't need to practice suffering. And I think I found that that's not true at all. And you do just sort of have to practice suffering. And that idea that when you don't have supplemental oxygen, the first part of your body that starts to feel the effect of that is your brain. So putting on my boots in the morning here at base camp might take me 1 minute. But up at 26,000 feet without using supplemental oxygen, it could take me 25 to 45 minutes just to put on my boots.
Yeah. Well, and just one last question, Melissa. You obviously love this mountain. You've summited five times. You obviously love the people, investing in them. As you said, trying to make the mountain more sustainable. What do you say to people who say it can't be at this point? It's been so overrun. We should leave it alone.
Well, I just don't think that's entirely true. I think you have to see for yourself Mount Rainier in Washington State, where I also work, you know, over 10,000 people climb Mount Rainier every single summer. And that's a very sustainable mountain. It's not overrun or overcrowded, and there aren't problems with garbage. This is the highest mountain in the world, and it's always going to be attractive to people. But I think every person has to say, am I conducting myself ethically here? Am I giving something to this place more than just taking? And if we all agree to do that, I think this can be a place that people can climb for generations to come.
Yeah. That's professional mountain guide Melissa Arnott, hoping to become the first American woman to reach the top of Mount Everest without supplemental oxygen and without traditional Sherpa support. We've reached her at base camp by sat phone. Melissa, best of luck to you.
Thank you so much for having me, Robin.